Good afternoon, everyone. Thanks for coming out after lunch. I hope this will be entertaining enough to compete with what's going on in your stomachs. Okay. First, a bit of context. I'm going to begin with a little bit of background information, a little bit of overview that will set the stage for all of our remarks today. And the context that I want to talk about is the National Institute of Justice's Violence Against Women research portfolio. The Violence and Victimization Research Division fairly recently compiled all of the research that NIJ has funded on violence against women into a really marvelous compendium that expands from 1993 to 2010, and it's current through April of this year. And it is an exhaustive review and categorization of all NIJ-funded projects on violence against women. So what I wanted to do was to take a look at this compendium through the perspective of sexual violence research. So what in this portfolio has been done on sexual violence research? Now, it turns out that's a pretty simple question to ask until you crack the compendium open and then you take a real good look at it. It's beautifully organized, but it's very hard to get an answer to that question. And the primary reason why it's hard to do that is because women don't experience one form of violence in their lifetime. They experience it throughout their lifetime, and they're often co-occurring. For example, women who are experiencing domestic violence often experience sexual violence as well. But the difference, though, is that some intimate partner violence research explicitly examines that, but sometimes it doesn't. So how do you count that? So in going through this content analysis of the compendium, we had to use, my colleague Jessica Shaw and I had to use kind of a range, if you will, of how to do these counts. Our primary goal was to look at each study and say, did this have a strong and explicit focus on sexual violence, regardless of whether it called itself domestic violence, sexual assault, stalking, some other form of violence against women. Our goal was to count up in each of these categories how many of these studies had a strong focus on sexual violence, whatever they called themselves. And so what I want to do right now is share with you some of the results from that content analysis and give you a feel for what the compendium looks like through the perspective of sexual violence research. First off, very briefly, the portfolio is very nicely organized into 9 major categories, and I am not going to go through all 9 categories. I'm just going to highlight 3 that are particularly relevant for sexual violence research. The first one I want to take a look at is definition and measurement. If we're going to try to do something about sexual violence, it helps if we know what it is we're defining it to be and then how we're going to measure it. Now, within the definition and measurement category, there's 2 subcategories. Research that was related to developing risk assessment instruments, trying to figure out who's going to perpetrate, and then studies that tried to dig a little deeper and look at context, meaning, and motive behind perpetration. Now, again, trying to figure out how many of these were sexual violence related. In the first subcategory, the risk assessment, 20% of the studies. And this is where percentages sometimes can give you a slightly skewed view of things. That's one study. That's one study that looked at development of a instrument to assess risk of juvenile sex offender perpetration. So we have one study there. And we have 0 studies in the portfolio that looked at context, meaning, and motive with regard to sexual violence. Okay? Well, we didn't leave that category with a real clear sense of definitions and measurements, but there's hope because there's epidemiology. And if you're going to try to measure the prevalence and incidence of sexual violence, it will necessarily make you think about definition and measurement. So let's take a look at that. Again, it divides into 4 major categories: national surveys, databases, secondary analysis of those national surveys, and then studies that looked at risk factors for homicide and serious injury. Now, with respect to national surveys, 67%, again, the percents give us a bigger picture than what it is, two of the three studies in the portfolio did have a strong and explicit focus on sexual violence. It was the National Violence Against Women Survey and Bonnie Fisher's Sexual Victimization in College Women Survey. So from that, we have a pretty good feel for nationally how common rape is. And databases, research on constructing databases, 75% of the portfolio had a focus on sexual violence. And most of these are creating state-level databases to track incidents of sexual assault. In terms of secondary analysis of the national data set, so going back into them to try to look in things in a more nuanced way, only 4 studies in the portfolio did that. And those were reanalyses that looked at risk factors or consequences of sexual violence. And in terms of the last category, risk factors for homicide or serious injury, we have one study in the portfolio with a sexual violence perspective, and that looked at women's risk of injury for using different kinds of avoidance or fighting back strategies if they are sexually attacked. So if we come out of the measurement category, the definition of measurement category and the epidemiology category, we're kind of left with a little bit of a mixed message. Some projects had a very strong sexual violence theme or focus, but many really didn't. So then I wanted to look at category A, because this is in many respects the sort of classic history of the National Institute of Justice. This is justice and related systems. We know that sexual violence is extremely common, so what are we going to do about it? What is the justice system response going to be to this? What's the medical system? What's advocacy? How are we going to work together? So from this particular category, again, looking at it through a sexual violence perspective, this gives us a feel of how the portfolio looks in terms of what are we doing to help victims of sexual assault. As you might expect, because this is a major focus within IJ, the portfolio breaks down into multiple categories here, 9 categories. And here's what the percentages look like. And again, there's some ranges here because you can count this slightly different ways. It doesn't dramatically change the nature of what the story is, though. How many studies in the portfolio looked at advocacy services for sexual assault survivors? 0. How many looked at arrest and prosecution for sexual violence? 11% to 13%. Offender interventions for rapists? 17% of the studies examined that. Courts in the criminal justice system, 7% to 8%. Civil, 0. Forensic and investigative methods, much higher, 62% to 73%. Protection orders, 0. Policy and legislation, 50%. Victim services, 25% to 33%. So you can count this a lot of different ways, but the overall picture remains pretty consistent. There's 2 categories where there's a number of studies in the portfolio that have a strong sexual violence focus. The majority do not. So the ones that do, forensic and investigative methods, NIJ has funded 8 studies in this area. It's the one category where the focus on sexual assault is stronger than any other form of violence against women. These are studies that looked at police investigational techniques, techniques for DNA recovery, and studies of the efficacy of sexual assault nurse examiner programs. With respect to policy and legislation, again, that was the other category that had higher representation at 50%. Those were 3 studies that were evaluations of sex offender notification laws. So where does this leave us in terms of our analysis of the NIJ research portfolio from a sexual assault perspective? This is a phrase that has a lot of meaning to a lot of us in this room, ... and sexual assault. It is a joke that's not a funny one for many of us in the room. I've seen this on t-shirts, I've seen this on signs, I've even seen it on coffee mugs. It refers to the extent to which sexual assault researchers and practitioners often feel like the afterthought in the violence against women movement. Is that similar for other forms of violence against women? Probably. I talk to my colleagues who do stalking and they say, ... hey, at least you're mentioned. And, you know, it's a sad thing. And the goal here isn't to try to create a hierarchy of which form of violence against women is worse or it's all bad. It's all atrocious. But the important thing to keep in mind as we talk specifically about the history of the sexual violence movement since VAWA is to keep in mind that the majority of VAWA funds, both service and research, did not go into sexual violence research. And that's important context for us to keep in mind in terms of what we have accomplished, what we did do with some pretty limited funds, what we have been able to figure out, and then where we want to go in the future and try to really understand the complexity of women's lives and that all forms of violence, again, that women experience multiple forms of violence throughout their lifetime. So with that context, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over now to my colleague, Bonnie.